This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The bears are mostly in bed for the winter, so it's safe to bring out your bird feeders. But what's the best way to attract birds to your yard? What kinds of food should you use? How can you take steps to keep your avian visitors safe? And how do you choose bird food based on what birds you might want to see? This morning, I got a few bird feeding basics from Vermont Fish and Wildlife migratory bird biologist John Buck.
Downside is the risk that you put the birds at with potential disease, infections that can be spread from one bird to another when you have a concentration area like a feeding site where birds are coming from all over to feed. And then there's also predation risk when you concentrate birds too. But there's a couple of things people can do to reduce that risk. First, as far as the disease issues go, it always behooves people to clean the bird feeders before the feeding season begins. And with a very mild chlorine solution, or, you know, 9 parts water, 1 part chlorine or Clorox, and just a light rinse, and then with fresh water, rinse the feeders out, you'll do quite a good job of getting rid of any pathogens. And then throughout the season, monitor the feeders to make sure that you don't have old food sitting around that could get moldy or, you know, harbor more pathogens too. And then to keep the feeders a distance away from the house so that two things don't happen. It makes it more difficult for natural predators like hawks, a little more difficult for them, but also house cats too. You want to keep them away from the feeders, let them enjoy the birds from inside. I think that's a really good message there. And then collisions too. If they're too close to the house, it's not uncommon for birds to become startled by something or reflection or movement or something, and they just flee. You know, it's the fight or flight response, and sometimes they just fly quickly and they strike a window or the side of the building or something. So,
John, what about if you have the, sometimes there are bird feeders that actually suction right to a window. Is that okay? Yeah. Or should people be?
Well, I mean, you're increasing the risk is all I can say. It's not like it's a foregone conclusion that an accident will happen, but you do put the birds at greater risk by being closer to your house that way.
Can I offer another reason why it might behoove someone to put the bird feeder a little farther away? Something that I've learned, sadly, from experience. We have gotten squirrels into our basement because they love the bird feeders so much. And when the feeders are closer to our house, the squirrels find a way in. And is that a good reason to keep them farther
away?
Absolutely.
No, squirrels can be a real nuisance. And keeping food away from your house is a good message for everything. And that goes for, of course, being bear smart, too, during the non-feeding, the non-winter time of year. It's really important. I'd like to stress for people to be patient and wait for winter to set in and let the bears go to their dens for the winter time, and they won't be an issue whatsoever. And then to be very diligent and take your feeders down in the springtime when it's likely that bears are going to be emerging.
So what are we talking, December through March is probably
typically,
okay?
That's a good window to keep in mind, December 1st to maybe early April. It all varies depending upon wild food supplies for the bears. As long as there's food out, bears typically stay out longer. This year, the food supplies in the woods were quite slim, and snow came early, so bears denned early. You could have put your feeders out earlier this year than in other years. That's still mid-November, maybe at the very earliest.
But we heard from Tom Rogers recently on our program when we were talking about changes to climate and how that's affecting various animals, that sometimes bears get up, especially male bears, in the wintertime and wander around. So should we be worried about our feeders and in thaws this winter?
Yeah, be vigilant. You know, be looking for bear prints, paw prints. You get an extended warm period, and that's not unusual. Even with climate change, before it was such an issue, there's still January thaws where bears would get up and stretch around a little bit, especially the young males. Again, it's just a matter of vigilance, keeping track of the weather and looking around for prints in the snow and other things like that to, you know, maintain a good, healthy site for birds. And then, you know, the enjoyment factor is just increased so much by that.
John, when you have a feeder out, you're not hurting the bird's natural ability to find food or habituating them to humans, are you?
In most cases, no. It becomes a supplemental source of food. The birds know where the wild foods are, and they feed on them, too. This is just an easier source of food for many of the birds that are in your neighborhood, and they'll make use of them that way.
What about if you want to attract certain kinds of birds? Can you go through some of the different bird seed and what you might want, depending on who you're trying to see?
Sure. There's so many species of birds, and they're able to be so many species because of the different kinds of foods that they eat. They kind of separate each other out from the kinds of foods that they eat. We have the seed eaters, which are the ones we most often see in the wintertime, the because that's what we put out for food. And there's sort of different kinds of food you could put out for them. Most common and most popular and the most diversity of species you can attract is with black oil sunflower. I don't recommend corn, cracked corn. That will attract the squirrels too quicker than other foods. I would avoid that. But thistle is another seed that you can use. I would use a different feeder for thistle just because it's so fine. And it you can attract more birds, too, and the less confrontations they'll have at the feeder, too. Because that's another thing that goes on, of course, is that certain birds chase other birds away, and it becomes a conflict sometimes. Those are probably the two most common types of food. And then the foods that you see in the hardware stores and elsewhere are all good. Look for ones that are more contain more higher concentrations of sunflowers in them. And the sunflowers come in different sizes and different types as well, too. So you're likely to get larger birds taking some of the bigger striped sunflowers and the smaller birds. Although I've seen chickadees carry off things you wouldn't believe they could do, but they do. And because they're, you know, they are so resilient.
What about woodpeckers? We've seen woodpeckers frequently on suet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another good source. And that can, you know, go to your local meat cutter, some of those supermarkets where they're still trimming fat off of pork and beef, and you know, to maintain a suet like that. And you can pack that with seed as well. All manners of species enjoy the suet, but woodpeckers tend to fancy it quite a bit.
Now, if, like me, you practice a laissez-faire style of gardening, are there ways that you can help your garden feed the birds through the wintertime?
Yes. What I do, too, I'm kind of more lazy fare, not lazy.
Yeah, well, I was being kind to myself.
But I'll leave a lot of my coneflowers, and I grow sunflowers, too, and I'll leave them up. As long as they survive the deer and get tall enough, you know, the seed heads and the coneflowers, like black-eyed Susans and others, will create a wintertime food source. Goldenrod seeds, I've seen tall phlox, other plants you might keep in your yard or near your yard, make great seed sources in the wintertime. And, of course, in the summertime, too, make a great pollinating kind of an opportunity for all of our insects.
John Buck is Vermont Fish and Wildlife's migratory bird biologist. John, thanks for some tips and tricks for feeding the birds this winter.
Jane, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.